broken leg and all.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchas Isurei Bia, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, Chapter 4, Law 4. We're talking about the laws of Anita, and how a woman has to count 7 days and go to the mikvah. And if you don't allow for that to happen, it comes with a chiyuv kares. Now we talk about non-Jews and halacha dalma. Hagoyim ein chayovim aleihem mishum nidav lo mishum zava. If a man has relationships with a non-Jewish woman, even though she may have had a menstrual flow, there's no such thing as a halachic nida or a zava for a non-Jewish person, and also v'lo mishum yoledes, and there's no tuma of giving birth. Mm. All those prohibitions do not exist. Now, of course, you've transgressed being with a goy, which is a bad thing, and you're going to have your problems there. We're not going to tack on the extra there of being with a nida. Right. Okay, that's not a problem. However, still in all, rabbis made a rabbinic decree, I'll call Hagoyim for all non-Jews, male or female, Haschorim v'anakeva, shiyu kizovim tamid, that they're constantly considered like a zov, which carries a tumah. They're bein ro, bein laro, regards if they saw blood or not, lenient tumah without regarding tumah tahara. So if a non-Jew touches things, we always consider them tamei. So from a halachic perspective of kutchim, of holy foods, if they touch things, all the halachas of kutchim, we treat them like a zov.
Especially wine, right?
Wine. Everything. That's even more than that. But everything, whatever they touch, don't shake their hand. If you want to, eat some truma and you're a kohen, you're not friendly and shake his hand. Because it's like a zov. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't live with that tum and tahara nowadays, but in the days that they did, they treated them like a zov to stay away from them. But if you happen to have relations with them, even though she technically had a menstrual flow, you will not get kores for being with Anita. You'll just get what's the appropriate punishment for living with a non-Jew. Okay, so that's halacha dal.
So is this instituted to just keep distance from the non-Jew?
Yes, that is a rabbinic decree. Hey, now we're going to get back into the laws of Jewish women. Kol dam shetira yoledes v'soch lamed gimel shol zocher v'samach vov shol nekeva hu anikra dam tohar. After the initial 7 days of impure blood after a boy and 14 days after a girl, after that 7 days are up, this is on a biblical level now, the next 33 days, any blood that you see is called tohor blood. Tohor blood. And for a girl, 66 days after is called tohor blood. And that's called dam tohar, the blood of purity. That doesn't hold a woman back from being with her husband. Remember, this was on a biblical level. The rabbis have changed all of this nowadays. She goes to the mikveh after 7 days, after having a baby boy. After 40 days within the keva. And can be intimate. Doesn't matter. Even though she's still bleeding. Is on a biblical level. The Rambam is not going to take us into the rabbinic levels over here where there's all kinds of chumras, and we don't follow this in practical terms now.
No.
Okay? But on a biblical level that existed, and the Rambam is bringing it on this biblical level. Women became very particular about a lot of things in Hilchas Nida and brought all kinds of chumras upon themselves that they have universally accepted. So therefore, this halacha is not applicable nowadays. We just wait until she finishes her bleeding and is totally clean.
And then
7 clean days. So this is more the biblical laws, and it says it right in the Torah, these laws. But there's rabbinic restrictions that restrict this. Vav. Kol chayovei tefilos, anyone who has to go to the mikvah, generally speaking, tefilosom bayom. You go to the mikvah in the day. Let's say kohen. Who is Tomei, goes to the mikvah in the daytime, and when nighttime falls, he can go and eat his truma, for example. Most mikvahs are in the day, chutz, with the exception of Nida Violetis, a Nida and a woman who gave birth. Shrei Omer B'nin, because by Nida, the Torah specifically says the following, Shivas Yomim Tia B'nidasa, 7 days she must be in her Nida state. 7 days. Now, if she goes to the mikvah in the middle of the seventh day, that's not the state. So Hashiva Kulam Benidasa, the 7 days have to be fully Nida state. Vitovelas, and she goes to the mikvah, Balel Shmina, the eve of the eighth, after 7 full days. That is correct. Similarly, if she gives birth to a boy, she goes to mikvah on the eighth night. And one who gives birth to a female, b'leil chamish, on the night of the 15th. Shall let us kenida, Kamashabar has already explained, a woman who gives birth is treated like a nida in these areas. What if Zainis Achor Yamim Rabim? What if many days delayed below Tavlan, she had not gone to the mikvah? Okay. In other words, 7 days she was a nida. And for whatever reason, another 2-3 days passed, she wasn't able to go to the mikvah. She wasn't well, whatever, she couldn't go. So now let's think about it. Technically 7 days are over. Let's say it's the 10th day, so let her go at a convenient hour, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
Technically you could, because 7 days are finished. Still along, the rabbis say, Kishatipo, when she goes to the mikvah, lo titpo, otherwise she still should only go at night. Why? Shintipo, yo, if we will see a woman going in the day, yitu, people will make a mistake, and they don't know which day it was. They don't know it was her 12th day. They don't think it was her 7th day. Vitavo nida acheres, another nida will come along, litpo, vashvi, and will immerse on the 7th, which is not acceptable. Therefore, all mikvahs are done at night, with the following exception, halacha ches. What if she was really sick? Or the mikvah is very far away, like the Volga River, let's say. And it's like a
Volga River? How far is it away?
Whatever. Let's say it's a 4-hour wagon ride from civilization. Alright? They can't go back and forth and make it, you know, at any reasonable hour. Obviously, at least we have to worry about highway robbers. I mean, they had seen her because of the cold. They close the gates of the city at night, so they can't physically go at night. It's just not possible. What do we do? Never go to the mikvah? No. Hareza Tovela should go to the mikvah when? Bayom Hashmini, on the 8th day. Or Bayom Shalach, or Bayom, or any other daytime day. Because that already, there's no other way.
No one would know.
And everyone knows. They know it's a 4-hour mikveh trip, so no one's gonna know. They know the gates are closed. They know it's not possible.
Your worry
she was
not.
Sick. Whatever.
She could go at night on the night after.
No, they said the gates are closed.
Gates are
they closed the gates at night.
4 hours away.
And that's the second part. Right? Just the first part. If she was sick,
if she just was sick, and the mikveh's closed by, she was just sick that night. She could go at night.
Maybe she's still sick, and it's hard for her to go at night.
Yeah.
Okay. Does your English say anything about the chola? Because I have no.
Because if it's cold, and it closes the gates.
No, but I'm saying the fact. Shelly says on the sick part. I think she's still sick. She's still sick. Going at night is more treacherous. That's all I would. You're right. If she was sick and she's better, too bad. I think she is sick. So it being sick, then we combine night and cold and all these things. It's not good for her in the sick state. In the day, it's nice and warm. You have to remember, you know, women were moser nefesh, you know, I mean, not taking away from women now, but now you go to a nice, beautiful mikveh, no matter what complaints they have about the local mikvehs, it's a far cry from what women had to do. Many women had to go in the river. Can you imagine going to the river in December in Russia?
It was cold.
You know, you're cutting through the ice to go into the water and, you know, and you could get swept away and die. You know, like you guys don't get, it's not like you come out and you're going into this nice warm room. You know, you could get the death of a cold, even if you're a healthy person, let alone a sick person. At least in the daytime, it was measurably warmer. So, I mean, we don't realize what women had to really be most nervous for these things. So you're just thinking, what's the big deal? You go to the bite mikvah, what's the problem? You go at night, go in the day. It's just 2 blocks away. But we're talking about like serious issues. So that's why, under those circumstances, they would permit in the day. Okay, now we're moving on to a different topic within Nida, and that's the idea of a veset, where women, I'm not going to go into the details, but there are women who have fixed periods and women who don't have fixed periods. A fixed period kind of tells us we know she's going to have her period at this particular time, and she's not going to have it at a different period. That's called a veset.
Regularity.
A regular period. That's called a veset. Okay, so now, call an ashram sheshal and veset. If a woman has a regular set period when she knows she gets it, so we say b'cheskes talabal, and we assume that they are tor to their husbands, right? And when it's not the time of the veset, then the husband assumes she's okay. She always has the third of the month, so he doesn't have to ask any questions on the 18th. He knows for sure she's okay. That's if she has a regular veset. If she doesn't, then it's a different story. Now again, we can talk about husbands who went away for a week, they're going on business, they're coming back. So he knows. His wife always has seeds on the 3rd, so from the 3rd to the 10th, it's hands off, whatever. So he went on business, he's coming back on the 21st. He can come right home, surprise his wife, and give her a hug and a kiss, and not ask any questions. Because he's assuming that there's no problem. If she doesn't have a regular time, and he goes away for 8 weeks, when he comes home, he has to say, "Dear, is everything okay?" He has to get the go-ahead before he can do anything. That's what the Rambam is saying here. So we assume if she has a regular vest, and it's not during the time of the vest, there's a chazaka, there's an assumption she's tahara. Unless she specifically says to me, I'm not pure. Guess what? It's a little change of schedule this month, right? Or unless she dresses, remember we had this before, she dresses like a nida, so it's kind of a giveaway what's going on. Now, for example, let's say the husband goes to a foreign country, and he left the wife behind and she was in a pure state. When he comes back, and the assumption is she has a vesed and it is a pure state, then in a tzarach lishlo, he doesn't ask her anything. Afilu matzir shena, he finds her asleep. He can just wake her up a little bit. He is allowed to have relations without asking her, as long as it's not in the time of her period. He doesn't have to concern himself. Shem anita, perhaps she is anita. However, on the other hand, if she left her, he left her as anita. Asurlo, you can't come to her. Achatoma to her, and until she says, "I am pure," even if it's, well, you should assume she made herself tar, but she has to tell us, "I went to the mikvah and I am tar." The way you leave her, that's the way you assume things are. Yud, how about Haisha Sharmalaba? Let's say the woman tells us, husband wants to cuddle up to his wife. He says, "Listen, dear, Tamani, but you know, I'm Tommy."
Oui.
Okay, and then 10 minutes later, Fachazon says, "Oh, you know what? Sorry, I lied. I'm really tahora. I'm really okay. I'm not Anita."
She's confused.
And so why did you tell me you were Anita? Well, listen, but Derek Schol, come on, look, I was joking around with you.
There we go.
Ain't an MS. She's not believed. Women don't joke about those things, and we assume you said you were Tamea. That's it. We assume you're Tamea, and you got to go to the mikvah, unless. Vimnasna amatla. What if she gave an excuse? I'll tell you why I said it was tamei. Really not, but there was a reason why. For example, with her words, and then she's believed. She said, "I'll tell you why I said I was tamei. I had a reason for it." Then, if it's a reasonable reason, we'll assume she didn't mean it, and we'll assume she started. What's an example? Ketzan. Tavaba, the husband wanted to have relations with her, but the problem was, vachoso ima b'chatzer. But the mother, her mother or her sister is together in the courtyard. His mother-in-law and her mother. His mother and his sister are in the courtyard. So she doesn't, want the mother-in-law to know what the romantic, events are going to happen. So Vamra said, "Tamani, I'm Tamea." Vamra chazer on maternal. Then she tells her husband privately, "I am Torah. Why'd you say we're Tamea? I was afraid to say, I said I was Tamea because your mother and sister, they might see us. I mean, it wasn't modest. I don't want them to know what we're going to be up to." Then she's believed because she has a reasonable excuse to say that. Any other type of reasonable excuse is accepted. Let's say, for example, she said, "I made a mistake. I thought I was Anita, but I'm not." Must not be a very bright woman, but, or she could have said, "Really, I had a headache. I felt very tired. So I didn't want to have to fight with you. So I said I was Tamea. But, I feel a lot better now. So now I'm willing to." So
that would be acceptable.
That would be acceptable because it's a legitimate reason. That I had a good reason for saying that. But just stop. I was joking around with you. You don't make jokes about that. That we don't believe she was joking around. She has a reasonable excuse. It is accepted. Now, let's say a man was intimate with his wife and she was in a pure state for Amro, but right in the middle of intimacy, she realizes, she feels, and says, "Neith Macy, I've just had my period while you are still, where we're still engaged together." So now what does he do? So you'd think the initial reaction is jump out.
Jump.
That's what you'd think. Like, get out of there fast, because she's Anita. But the halakha is exact opposite. Lo yifrosh ma'advihu, because he should not pull out while he is still erect. Why? Because he has a pleasure going out, just like going in. There is a physical pleasure moving out, and that you can't have. If he will pull out when he still is erect, because you're still enjoying intimacy by pulling out, She is pater because she just told him. She didn't tell him to pull out, so it's like against her will. It's not her doing, it's his doing. But he would get kores. Wow. So we'll see what he does in a minute. What didn't Bisharis? That's the same for any Arayas. For example, let's say the guy didn't realize that, let's say he thought he left his wife, you know, we had it in Detroit. It happened. This guy, he was screaming and yelling at the front desk, screaming.
I missed this.
And they said, what happened? He said, you gave me the key to my room. I come to my room. There's another man and woman in the bed doing what they're doing. He was swearing. Good thing the boys weren't there. He was what? You know, beep, 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 beep. They're beep, 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 beeping. Is this what kind of hotel is this? They gave him the same cards in another room. He says, I want my money. Yeah, I'm going to sue. He says, so Lee says, how about if I take $10 off of the price? Can we forget it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. that finished.
Anyway, so let's say, you know, a husband's a wife. They go to a hotel, and he thought his wife was in room 343, but she was in 434. And he says, okay, I'm going to room 343. He sees a woman in the bed. He thinks it's his wife. And it's very dark. They got the night blinders in. And it feels like a woman, feels like his wife. And he starts to get intimate. And the woman, I don't know what she's seeing. She's dreaming. And then then he looks and says, hey, you ain't my wife?
Hey, who are you?
So now, what do you do, right? And you're locked in.
Oh, no.
So what you got to do? You can't pull out.
No. Wow.
Because that would be an event.
You're screaming.
Don't pull out. Don't pull out.
Ella, so now.
Here's the advice.
Ella, Kate said, Yasa, so what should the guy do? I mean, you're like really in a difficult situation.
This is a challenging situation.
So, no wait, Siporne Raghavakarka. He digs his nails his feet, like he digs into the ground. Like
which
he,
ground?
On top, on the bed, whatever.
Okay.
He's, you know, like
I thought you had to go to the ground.
Keeping himself stationary.
Yeah.
Vishon, he waits. Ve'eno mizdaze. He doesn't shake. He doesn't move. At Yomus Aver until the organ retracts on its own. And once it just is, you know, not erect, then he just leaves. Because then there's no pleasure in leaving because the erection has stopped. So there's no pleasure coming out. And that is the halacha. That is halacha. Now, generally, that's not going to happen if you're careful not to do it at the time of Shoshana Anita, but it could possibly happen. So that would be the halacha of what to do. Now, you'd
remember
make
that in marriage class.
It's not commonly known halacha.
No. It should be taught.
Really. It is. I learned it.
Okay.
When I learned halacha, I learned all this. Okay, yud beis. A man is forbidden to be intimate with his wife when it's coming up to the period. When you know it's gonna give examples. When you know the period's tonight, you're not with your wife that night. Maybe she'll see blood when they're intimate. Shenamar, Torah says, Vihizartem espinesum tusum, and warned the Jewish people against becoming tummy. Now, the comma, and how far do you have to refrain? Like, how long is that? So it depends. If she normally has her period in the daytime, then you can't have intimacy from the beginning of the day.
Talking about
the morning till the night. If she normally sees at night, you can't have any via until the beginning of the night. Alright? Continuing along. Yud Gimel. Now, we don't hold like that in all areas. I don't want to get into technicals, but we do a little more the time before, also the vessel before, by some and not by others. It's a little more complicated. But that's the general notion, is you do have to stay away, certainly in the vest, when it's coming. You know, she had it. When your calculation is, it's going to be Wednesday in the day, certainly say Wednesday in the day, and depending on certain calculations, it's even the night before. Now, you again, what if of our vessel, let's say the calculated day came and passed for the rest, she saw no blood. Okay, could be maybe she's pregnant, or maybe she's just having an irregular period. Muteris ashamesh, achashitavar onas avesit. Once the vessel passed, that time passed, you could be intimate. Kate said, let's have an example. Oh, you dark aliris b'she shows by your home. Let's see, she normally sees by the sixth hour of the day. She sees noontime. All the time, like clockwork, noontime. She can't have any bia until the beginning of the day.
No, from the beginning.
From the beginning of the day, I meant. Of Rishay Shos B'yom, if 6 hours pass, Loras doesn't see anything, Asrula Shamash, I love to still prohibit until the end of the day, but by nighttime, they are permitted to be with each other because the entire vest passed. So when the sun sets, then it can be together. And the opposite as well. V'cheinim dark, aliris v'sheshul light, what she sees 6 hours in the night, for the whole night passed for the sun she didn't see. So the shamash, she can't have intimacy until sunrise.
So all this stuff about checking.
Hang on. Those are more rabbinic things. Yes. More rabbinic things. Just to make sure you do. Halacha is you still have to check at the beginning and the end of the vest, or at least at the end of the vest to make
sure.
This is a raisa. But the raisa, once it's passed, you don't have to worry. Yudal, Derek Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Leolam, Leave the Gatz, Machai Tashrish. Now this Rambam is not Lahalacha coming up now. It's the way of the Jewish people, the men and the women, to always check themselves after every intimacy. Ketzad, for example. Mekanecha ish asva matlis. The man takes a cloth, he wipes himself down. Nechonelo, properly. Umekanecha ish asva matlis nechonelo, prepared for him. And the woman, cleans herself up with a cloth that's been prepared. Vrayim behem, and they take a look. Shemarasa damashas tashis. Maybe there was some blood during the intimacy. In other words, there's a concern. There is a rare possibility that intimacy brings on a flow of blood. Right, and she could, different things can trigger menstrual blood. The typical one is the time of the month. But there's certainly like jumping or certain activities, and one could be, it's possible that intimacy can bring on a menstrual flow. It's very unusual. I don't know what the medical world has to say about it, but there is a possibility. So what do you have to do? You have to check every time to make sure that doesn't happen. That's the Rambam. We're not going to hold like this, and we'll tell you the halacha shortly, but that's what Rambam says. Now, the man checks his cloth to make sure there's no blood on it. The woman checks her cloth. But, and more than that, the yesh lish laniach ishur's book, really the man can let his wife check everything. The matlis shalot, even his cloth. Since she's believed to check her cloth, she's believed to check his. Because usually, for example, a woman's not believed to testify in a court, but in Yisurim, we trust the woman. So if she's trusted to check her cloth, she can even check the husband's cloth. Now, how we do concern ourselves for this, but not to the extent that the Rambam concerns itself. According to Rambam, you would check every time you're intimate, you check afterwards. The halacha that we follow is the first 3 times when you're married. The first 3 times you're intimate, you check to see that that's what happened. And if it didn't happen, then the chazok is it'll never happen again. And that is the halacha, and that's what they should teach chassan and kalos, that thing. Tesvav. Now, what do you check with? Begodim elu shemakavikim behem, shrikim shiyu, shel, pishtan, shechakim, ulavanim. These garments, these cloths that we check ourselves with, they have to have 3 qualities. They have to be made out of linen. They have to be a bit worn out, not fresh, hard, and white. Now, it's a discussion, does it have to dafka be linen or any other kind of garment? Some say, no, he only gave linen as an example of a soft material, because you don't want to have an abrasive material, because that itself could cause a little bit of wound, and she can have bleeding just by using, I guess you use, let's say, a burlap bag, as that. That could cause irritation and blood would confuse everything. So, it's to be something that is, that can do the job of inspection, and it shouldn't be hurtful. Right? And obviously, if it's a little bit worn out, that's a little better for that, but it has to be white. Yeah, very white. Behemoth Kram, what do we call this garment? These 2 garments? Aidim. They're called witnesses. That's what we call it. Did you check your aid? That's the lingo you would use. And what about the garment he checks with, he cleans with? Nikra Aid, so it's called his witness. The one she checks with, Nikra Eichel, is her witness. So she checks her witness, he checks his witness, they both checked their witnesses. Alright. Tezayin. Hatsunuos, the very particular people, the very modest people, who are very, very particular in their mitzvah observance. Again, we don't have to follow this. They never have intimacy until they check themselves first. You never know. Maybe I had a little bit of blood and I don't even realize it. So they always check themselves. She checks herself. A man can't check, is on the check. Exactly. Woman checks herself.
There's no checking.
Snuot, the modest female, women, yes.
The Isha
Shemo Veses, a woman who has no particular Veses at all. She can't check. She can't until she checks because she doesn't know if she has it or not.
She's a regular.
She needs two witnesses. Once before, and then Rambam already, according to his opinion, you always check afterwards anyway. And one after Tashmis, as he requires that all the time. A woman who has a fixed period doesn't have to check herself before intimacy, because only if she wants to be an extra tsunua. You want to be very strict. But if she doesn't have a regular vessel, then not even strict, regular law would require it. But after intimacy, everyone needs shneidim, one for husband. Farther Rambam goes, even a pregnant woman, a nursing woman, it's not like they're going to see blood. How about this? It's a cane or an old lady after menopause, uketan, or a young girl before she's has her period. Still, lo mishamet tisham shabshem. You have to have two witnesses, one before, two afterwards. Echad lo, echad lo, one for him, one for her. Whew. Now this is all, we don't hold like any of this.
No.
Any of this. We hold that even if a woman does not have a vest, we give her three general vestos anyway. The monthly vest, the timely vest, and the day of the month vest. So we always apply rabbinically vestos to her. So it's not such a thing as her not having a vest. She has to check herself at any one or all three of those traditional vestos that we apply to her, and therefore that doesn't exist. However, the only exception the Rambam does make, according to his opinion, that you are required to check all the time, aval besula, but a virgin that never ever saw blood in her whole life, and the blood she's going to see now when she's intimate for the first time is dam besulim, is hymenal bleeding, which does not make her tummy per se, and she's mutter the husband on a biblical level. Now we don't hold like that because we don't know the difference in all those things. But anyway, orvio shevas al dam torah, a woman who just had a baby and it was 33 and 66 days from a biblical level, that situation, we don't care what blood she sees, it's not a problem. She does not need any witnesses. She had dam shevas minute because blood is going, and that's a blood that is not to be considered a problem. All right, let's do one more. Maybe we'll stop. That'll be enough. We did 14 halachas today, so.